This podcast replay is brought to you by EJDConstruction.com. Call Eric at EJD Construction at 305-433-4843. They do it all, residential or commercial. EJDConstruction.com is the custom home builder and general contractor you can trust. 305-433-4843. All right, there he is, the man, the myth, the legend. Hold on, we got to get that youth fair billboard out of his face.
There we go.
There we go.
Might be an improvement, though, actually. Who knows?
By the way, I got to ask you.
Ask me.
Bro, I've been watching videos, YouTube videos of people that go there. I've been trying to read up on some stuff. Your former hometown doesn't really have a lot of shit to look at, bro. Like, there isn't, like, a lot of historical stuff to go see and all that kind of stuff. Now, Montreal does kick ass, apparently, with restaurants and bars. Like, apparently, you guys kick some serious freaking ass with food. Like, restaurants all over the place. But there really isn't a ton to see, I was looking at in Montreal. Is that true? Am I missing out on something?
You mean, other than, like, a full sector that's, like, 1300 or 1400s architecture?
Like, what? What are we talking about?
Is it old Montreal?
Oh, you talk about just like the architecture of Montreal is what you're saying. Okay.
Of that particular section of Montreal, old Montreal.
Okay. Some people say I should go to Quebec and go hang out Quebec there a little City. Bit. Huh?
Quebec's, well, that's a 2.5 hour drive.
Oh, it's from Montreal. Oh, which is the one? It's not Quebec that's right next door? Which is the one that's close by? Is it Quebec? Is that considered close by?
2.5 hour drive.
Yeah, it's not that close, but okay.
No, there is no other main city.
No, next to it. So,
that's
okay.
Like really close by.
So,
I mean, there are other sites. There's a big attraction park on an island called La Ronde. You can go Mount Royal, after which Montreal is named, middle of the city.
Okay.
I don't know that it's loaded with quote unquote
it's not
tourist attractions, but there, and again, if you, when you're going in the summer, there's one festival after another.
It is beautiful. That I will say, you're right, the architecture and all that kind of stuff. But I was like, how many like things to do? And it was, yeah, no, there aren't a ton of attractions. Or things, you know.
No. I don't know what you're going in August, correct?
Yes, sir. Early August.
You should be still in festival season, dude.
Okay. All right.
Get pamphlets when you get there. I mean, like jazz festival, beer festival, comedy festival.
Oh, now we're talking.
Festival. Okay. I mean, you name it. There are tons of them in the summer because you can't go anywhere in the winter.
Right. Of course. Okay. All right. I got to. The food, I mean, wow. Man, you guys. Yeah. Kick some ass. I told Greeper, I go, bro, we're just going to go gain a bunch of weight because they got restaurants galore there, bro. And apparently bars are also very, very popular there too in Montreal. Yep. So it's pretty cool. All right. Did you finally get to see the conversation between Mike McDaniel and Mike Silver?
I did on and off. Maybe it's because I've listened to Mike McDaniel talk, and there's a lot of the things that he was saying early on. It wasn't necessarily grabbing me that much, but I caught the gist of it.
Did you catch the whole Tua stuff?
I caught some of it, and I don't know that there was anything that really jumped out at me as being stuff that he hadn't mentioned before.
When did he tell you that Tua was the best quarterback he's ever had for this
for
offense?
His offense, he had said that before. For his offense, he had said that before.
Really? I never saw that.
The analogy was out there before. The 700, watching 700 plays was out there before.
Well, no, it wasn't the 700 thing. It was more about what he talked about, how he made the tape to then tell everybody first how he was thinking. And then he went and made the tape for Tua on top of all of that. But he made the shorter tape first for those guys. So it was a little different story that he was talking about, You know, he gave a little bit more with Mike Silver. And the other thing I think that came from that conversation, you probably won't admit it, but it clearly comes from the second that McDaniel's been here, Tua was never going anywhere. Ever. Ever. Not even close. No thought, no talk, no nothing from the second he got here.
And I'll resent your want a minute. Why wouldn't I admit it? It was
okay,
clear.
I just want to make sure.
And also part of the mandate. Well, dude, give me some benefit of the doubt. I am fair, even though we don't always agree, and I don't always like go like this. Yeah. I am fair, and it was always very clear. And part of the mandate in hiring Mike McDaniel is that Mike McDaniel presented the Dolphins with a vision of this is how I'm going to make it work with Tua, and for the offense he ran. Especially once they got Tyreek Hill, yeah, Tua's ideal for that offense. And then sure. I never disputed that for a millisecond.
Well, by the way, whatever he said in the initial meeting, he still didn't know what he knew until he made that tape that he got there and he started making a tape. And then he said he started to realize that Tua makes throws that a lot of quarterbacks are afraid to make. And he started, you know, explaining that to Mike Silver that it's like, okay, we have a gold mine here. You know, that kind of stuff. So I think that's the other thing that he could tell him about what offense he was going to run and all that, but he really didn't convince himself until he got to the building and started to make that tape.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, that's what he said, right? That's what he said in that interview, right?
Like I said, I watch a lot of it, and then in some of it I was in and out, to be very honest with you, because a lot of stuff was kind of very slow developing. It's an hour interview.
Wait, you don't have attention span or something? What's wrong with you?
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
You don't have an attention span or something? What's wrong
with
you?
I'm being funny, Big O. I'm being funny. That's why I just said what you said.
I know.
Come on, play along with me.
I know. Well, I kind of did by acting dumb and saying it again. Oh, yeah, that was kind of the idea. Anyway, so you start to look at this situation now. Off of that conversation, one of the things he did say, and again, you didn't hear the whole thing, but maybe you heard this part, but when he first met with them, right, with the front office and all that, the guys were like, we need to build up the offensive line. And he was like, no, we need to go get weapons. But he didn't want to tell them, no, you guys, we need to do this. Because it's, you know, I don't want to tell you you're wrong, I'm right, that kind of stuff. So that's where he went to make the tape to explain to them what he wanted in his vision, and then they went and got the weapons. And I last year, like he said, the front office guys were telling him, we got to go get offensive linemen and build, which they did also. But I just get the feeling that that's still a thing here. They don't need more weapons outside of maybe a tight end, and I think that third-round pick is going to be that tight end now. I'm almost convinced that 51 is really a lineman. What do you think?
Interchangeable, can be flipped. I strongly believe that those two first picks will be tight end, offensive lineman, or offensive lineman, tight end.
I just have a problem when I look at the draft. I don't, and you're good with this too. I don't know if the tackle you get in the third round is the same as the guy you could get at 51. The guard might be the same, but the tight end actually might be the same playmaker from second or third round, but the tackle may not. There might be a drop there. And at 51, from what I'm looking at, you're going to have some names there. You're going to have a couple guys.
Yeah. Here's my thing though. And I'm not convinced with the tight end not having a major drop off from second round to third round. And I also think, and as I wrote on All Dolphins, according to Irv Smith Jr., before he signed with the Bengals or agreed to turn with the Bengals, he was talking to the Dolphins. He said he basically chose the Bengals over the Dolphins, which tells you they want a pass catcher because Irv Smith is not a people mover. And if you look at what's left in free agency in the NFL at tight end, that's not where they're getting a tight end who can do some damage in the passing game. So I think
Irv Smith's a decent player, but nothing special.
He joins the Dolphins, he's immediately their best receiving tight end.
By default, unfortunately.
It's a low bar, I understand.
Yeah.
But to me, I think they can get that kind of pass catching tight end in the second round, and then still thinking they can get a veteran offensive lineman. Remember, there's still a lot of veteran offensive linemen on the market if they want to attack and get the right tackle there. They're the same guys we talked about earlier this week, still out there. There's been very little free agent movement this week.
Nothing.
So you still have Brandon Shell still out there, George Fant still out there, Billy Turner still out there, and that's without even me looking at the list. But I did check the list of tight ends, and there is nothing. The biggest names are Cameron Brate, Mercedes Lewis, Kyle Rudolph, and all of those guys are on the very, very easy downswing of their career. So that's why I'm thinking more second round is going to be a tight end, and your offensive tackle is going to come either in free agency or in the third round if you haven't gotten them.
Let's see if it ends up happening. Will Odell Beckham sign here since he lowered his price to $15 million per year now?
That's funny. No, but if he goes to 13, maybe. No, I'm just yeah, no. No, not happening. There's scuttlebutt he could wind up with the Jets.
Who's going to sign him for 15?
Not for 15.
How high are you, bro? Who do you think you are, bro? Come on. First, you started with 20. Now you're down to 15. You're injury prone. You're unreliable. You're a head case at times. You propose to kicking nets. You fight with kicking nets. You wear pants on boats in South Beach. I mean, you do a lot of weird stuff. You want $15 million a year? Come on.
You've got a bipolar relationship with the kicking nets. Yeah. No, but he could wind up, at a higher level, but could wind up doing something like Gesicki's doing in New England, which is
incentive.
Much incentive based, once he realizes that nobody's giving him $15 million, and it'll keep going down. And at some point he may like, okay, give me this, but then jack up my money if I reach certain incentives.
I'm with you there. All right. What do you know anything about the Brandon Shell situation? Cause I find it, like, he hasn't signed anywhere, and he played well for you. Have you heard anything on that front?
No, and I did some digging, and I'm not coming up with anything other than there was a word he was meeting with the Bills. And it's weird to me, and I get it. I understand that there's the first big wave. There's usually a lull. But I don't recall a year when it slowed to such a crawl in the second week of free agency or the third week of free agency. But the lull is actually kind of not unusual, and it's going to pick up at some point. Certainly after the draft, if it drags on that long, certainly after the draft, guys like him and Turner and Fan and all those guys, then they'll get picked up once teams see what they were able to fill through the draft and what needs they have left. But I'm actually kind of surprised, and it could be that he's holding out not only for money, but for also for a situation where he feels he has a legitimate chance to start. And I don't know what the Dolphins have communicated with him. I would like to think that at the very least they tell him, certainly if they told Dan Feeney, you're going to get a chance to compete, they should tell Brandon Shell, you're going to chance to compete also.
The owners want to do something incredibly stupid and insensitive and really It goes against everything when you tell me you care about player safety. Adding a flex to a Thursday night game, what can the NFLPA do about this? Because to me, I've said for years, you need 2 bye weeks, bro. You have to have 2 bye weeks. You have to have one for every Thursday night game. For every Thursday opponents, they all should be off the week before. And then that way they get 10 days after that. It doesn't seem like you're adding a second bye week to kind of, accommodate all those kind of things. Plus, if you're flexing, it's going to be really hard to do that. And all of a sudden, you're going to be surprising teams. You could be knocking out good teams from the playoffs because if you're using good teams late, they might suffer key injuries. And you're screwing fans over who may have plane tickets and hotels and stuff like that that then they have to now cancel and reserve again and, short notice airplane flights, as you know. Very, very expensive. So talk to me about this because it's a mess and it makes no sense whatsoever.
No, and you kind of covered everything there was. But you and I are both old enough to remember that there was 1 year in the NFL when there were 2 bye weeks. It was 1993, I want to say. I don't recall the NFL going completely out of whack. It was a one-shot deal. They never did it again. I'm not sure why. I don't see any major issue. I think players would welcome a second bye week, especially if, as you suggest, they make it so that if you play a Thursday night game, you have a week by the week before. And one big issue that you mentioned with the flex late in the season, along with screwing over the fans, those who make plans to fly out of town, and there are a lot of those.
Yeah, man.
Is imagine you're the team, and because like you mentioned, it's usually they're going to flex teams that are in a playoff race. You're in a playoff race, and you were scheduled for a Sunday. Go ahead now. You're going to go play on the road on the Thursday night against another quality opponent. Those games are tough to win. Usually, if you have two good teams, the home team's going to win. Usually.
Yeah.
So now you're giving a major advantage to the home team in that game, and you make major disadvantage to the road team. And no, it kind of completely sucks. If I'm being purely, purely selfish from a fan standpoint, from a viewership standpoint, yeah, it'd be cool to be able to get away from crappy Thursday night games late in the season like last year. Was it the Jets and Jacksonville? I think it was. Oh.
Yeah, I know. They were brutal.
That was so brutal. But yeah. I think the sacrifice of having those kinds of games outweighs all the shit that would come with it. I'm with you on that. I think it's
what can the NFLPA do about this? Can they stop it? Can they say no? We're not going to allow this. We're not going to allow our players to play in this. Or can they do something about this? That's the part I don't know.
No, I don't know either. And the truth is, I have on my laptop somewhere the whole collective bargaining agreement, and I don't know if there's anything in there that the NFL would have to get their approval to institute that other flex. I honestly don't know. I'd have to think that the NFLPA would be kicking and screaming about this, though.
Yeah. You don't put anybody at an advantage there. The only ones that win are the owners, because the checks are going to clear. And by the way, if you add another week with the bye week, that's another week that you generate revenue.
It's more money. It's more inventory. I don't understand.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't make sense. All right, what do you got going on in alldolphins.com, my friend?
Well, today I did. It's funny. We talked about the draft. I did a story looking at all the national mock drafts that have come out that extend beyond the first round, because sadly the Dolphins again don't have a first round pick, and who they're targeting, and the most popular choices for the second and third round are tight ends and offensive linemen, as we discussed. And Omar just wrote a column addressing the Get Up segment this morning, where they were doing their way too early predictions on the AFC East.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Follow him on Twitter at @PoopartNFL and catch him twice a week here doing his thing with our EJDConstruction.com Miami Dolphins report. And don't forget to bookmark alldolphins.com. That officially makes you a real Dolphins fan when you bookmark alldolphins.com. Poopart, have a great weekend, my friend. We will catch up next week.
See you in April.
Thank you, sir. You got it. See you in April. Good stuff there. That's our EJDConstruction.com Miami Dolphins report. And please call Eric at EJD Construction, Dade or Broward counties only, because I've gotten some of our folks, I've gotten them a little pissed off at me because they called Eric and like, we don't service Palm Beach. And that's my fault. It's only Dade and Broward County. A lot of our listeners have been calling because they've been wanting to upgrade their roofs because they got to renew their policies, their hurricane policies. And they're finding out that, hey, if your house is over 20 years old, you need to upgrade your roof, folks. Call them 305-433-4843. Got all kinds of listeners doing all kinds of different things, like building an extra room. Another one that built an observation deck. I told you about that a while back. All kinds of different projects. One of our listeners having their entire home remediated because of a fire. And the other thing that EJD Construction does that a lot of you may not, most contractors probably don't do this. Every day you have an app that you're going to, once you become a customer, you have an app that goes with it. And every day they take pictures on the progress being made in your property. So whether you're there or you're not, you're always going to be getting them every day, and you can see the progress being made every day. It's really a cool concept, and EJD Construction does it. Go to their Instagram page. Go check out a lot of the work that they've done. But if you live in Dade and Broward County and you're looking for custom home construction or major home remodeling, you want to modernize the kitchen, you want to build out a man cave. Exactly. You want to build out a man cave. You want TVs coming out of the roof or the walls or whatever. EJD Construction, 305-433-4843.